And welcome back, footy fans, to another episode of Donnie's Disposal. I am your host, Coach Donnie Hess, here back with the first review VFL Vantage of the year. You know we got to talk all the state leagues. The last of the state leagues we'll cover for this first month of play is here. And joining me, as always, my faithful co-host, the man that knows the VFL and VFLW like the back of his hand. What is that new mark there? Just joking. That's Mr. Brendan Rhodes. Brendan, great to see you, sir.
Great to be back with you, Donnie. It's been a very interesting start to the season, and I hope I can remember it all.
Well, the good thing is that I've caught you only three rounds for the men, four rounds for the women have gone. So it's not like the five or six rounds that we did a couple of times last year. So hopefully I agree with you that it should not take as much. So just really quickly, before we dive into each of the rounds, let's go through it. Just your initial thoughts of the starting of both the VFL and VFLW this year.
Well, it's certainly looking very even again in the VFLW. What we've seen differently so far this year is there are a couple of clubs that are giving their AFLW players more of a run earlier in the season, and not just the developing AFLW listed players. We're seeing the top end ones actually playing, and that's why you're seeing some of the huge results that you might have noticed, which are out of the ordinary in the VFLW. Like Box Hill Hawks got two games out of Emily Bates, who's a three-time All-Australian League Best and Fairest winner, Premiership player, four-time Best and Fairest, something like that. Mm-hmm. She's had 30-odd touches in both games. Jasmine Fleming played in round one. She's possibly the next big thing and had 39 touches. We've got the couple of guest teams in, played their first two games over the last couple of weeks with their big AFLW contingent, including some of the best players to play the game running around. So the standard is certainly up, but it also means that the clubs that don't have that haven't been picking their AFLW players have copped a couple of hidings that you can't read too much into once finals come around and those players aren't there. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll cross them as we get there. In the VFL, very interesting. I think it's gone pretty much as I expected so far. I think I predicted that Werribee might be better than people think, and they find themselves on top of the ladder after three rounds. Box Hill's always there and about. They ran into a very powerful Gold Coast team on the weekend in round three, which was their first loss of the season. We've got Williamstown had to fight really hard to beat a couple of teams that I thought might struggle a little bit in Frankston and Coburg. They beat Coburg after the siren in an absolute thriller that I was privileged to actually call. But they find themselves 3-0, and we've got two standalone teams in the top two spots on the ladder after three rounds, which is really heartwarming. I wouldn't say there's any major disappointments just yet. There's probably one or two teams that I thought might have had a win on the board by now that don't, and a couple that have maybe an extra win than I thought they would. But that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see. If I'm only getting, you know, 60 to 70% of the tips right, that means you've got a good competition. And I'd rather only get 60 to 70% than get 95% and know what's going to happen every game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100% agree. And when it comes to the VFLW, it's like I don't mind seeing the AFLW girls getting a run, even some of the elite girls, just to kind of keep eyeballs on it. And I agree with you. Unfortunately, some of the results have been a little more lopsided than I think we're used to. Like, I know last year there were so many games that were close, so I'm with you on that. But it is kind of good to see how good some of these women are. Like, you can tell there are levels to this game, and some of these girls are very much on it. So let's go through it. We'll go through each of the round like we did last year. Kind of we'll touch each of the games, we'll say the scores, and then we'll kind of talk about some of the games that really like piqued our interest, some of the better games of the round. So we'll go back to round one, VFLW, Southern Saints beat the Collingwood Magpies in a thriller by 8, 25-17. Port Melbourne beat Essendon 54-7, a 47-point win for the Burrows there. The Blues knock off the Cats 59-28 by 31. North Melbourne outlast the Duggies 65-43, a 22-point win for the Roos there. Unfortunately, Darebin's losing streak continues as with Williamstown with a smashing over the Falcons by 76, 78-2. And as you said, the Hawks unleashing Emily Bates and Jazz Fleming on the KC Demons with a 122-14 win over KC, an 108-point win. I mean, I would say at this, I know I watched the highlights of this game. This game was absolutely incredible. The 8-point win by the Saints, knocking off the Pies, and an absolute cracker to start off the VFLW season.
Yeah, it certainly was, and it's a completely new look Collingwood team. I'm not sure if we knew just how new it was when we last spoke, but there's only one player in that entire Collingwood squad that was there last year when they made the grand final. So 32 of the 33 players, or whoever it was, have all moved on to different clubs. So that's just a crazy turnover of players. So you can't look at the Magpies as being, last year's grand finalists, because it's only the Guernsey that was there. The players weren't. That one player missed the grand final through injury in Marnie Jarvis. So it was a solid effort by them. You expected the Saints to win, and they duly did win. And they look like a reasonable team when they come up against other VFLW lineups, the Saints. We'll get to what happened to them in round four, and obviously there's a clear reason why, but they're a good team. They're a contender. Collingwood's basically started from scratch again.
It was very interesting. I know one of last year's one of their better players, Jess Bates, moved back to Glenelg in South Australia. So
Yes.
it's kind of again, it's kind of a facelift Collingwood team. So, but still, they gave the Southern Saints a competitive match. So, but fantastic. We'll move to round two. Unfortunately, not as many crackers in this one, but there is the fun result that we'll get to in just a second here. But we'll start off as North Melbourne beat Collingwood 29-8, a 21-point win by the Roos there. The Burrow continue a nice start to the season with a 40-point win over Collingwood 61-21. The Doggies knock off the D's by 21, 71-50. And as I said, the cracker as Williamstown and Essendon play to a 35-35 draw. And the Hawks, as we said, starting off absolutely in fuego with a 98-2 win, a 96-point win for the Hawks. And the Southern Saints continue the pain for the Darebin Falcons with a 25-point win, 34-9. So, I mean, a draw is always exciting. May not be for the end of the game when there's this lull of what do we do because there's no song to sing. So, your thoughts on this draw between Williamstown and Essendon?
It was a wonderful comeback by Williamstown. Essendon actually kicked, I think, the first four goals of the game and led by 20, I think they led by 23 points in the second quarter just before half time. And then Williamstown gradually pulled their way back and got themselves up to level. Essendon are the draw experts. They've had four draws in the past two seasons, would you believe? So they're probably ones that would be looking for extra time or golden goal shootout or whatever people want to try and get rid of draws. I know there's been a groundswell off and on for years about trying to get rid of draws.
I love the draw, to be
It is
honest with you.
a it is an interesting part of the game when you look at it and you think, well, geez, 2 points got away, but it could have been a lot worse. It could have been all four that got away, and it can make all the difference. But that was the day that, to me, I think that was more impressive from Williamstown than the big win over Darebin in round one, because Essendon, last year's preliminary finalists, premiers in 2022, to chase them down from four goals behind, just showed us that Williamstown is a very good team, and even though they've still only won one game for the year, you have to look at who they've played to be in that position, and they're a serious contender this year, the Seagulls.
Definitely. For sure. We move on to round three, and here's where we see the addition of the two New South Wales teams. We'll get to the results here in just a second, as Casey survive a game against North Melbourne, winning by 3, 34-31. The Cats knock off the Saints by 18, 54-16. Essendon beat the Falcons by 30, 40-10. The Hawks beat the Pies 37-3, a 34-point win by the Hawks. The Swans bring down an impressive side with an impressive win over the Doggies by 62, 84, 22. The Giants just edge out the Carlton Blues 43, 35, and the Borough knock off Williamstown 32-9, a 23-point win by the Borough, continuing their undefeated season, their undefeated start to the season. I mean, I look at a couple of really good games here. Let's start off with North Melbourne, Casey, a 3-point win by the D's on the road at Arden Street. That's an impressive win there.
Massive upset too. North Melbourne had won their first two games and won them impressively. Casey had lost their first two games convincingly. And there was nothing to suggest going into this that Casey would be able to beat North Melbourne, who, as I told you last time, were my premiership favourites to come up from ninth on the ladder. But Casey has never actually lost to North Melbourne. That takes them to 5-0 in their history, and they managed to protect it. They led for most of the game. North Melbourne headed them in the last quarter, took the lead, and Casey managed to get it back with Joanna Lynn kicking a goal with, I think, around about 30 seconds to go. Took a mark and kicked a goal with 30 seconds to go to pinch it back for the Demons. So that was a real character building win that showed that hidden beneath these big margins, we've still got an extremely close competition. And it was the same with the Saints and Geelong. The Saints were undefeated and very impressive. Geelong had been thrashed twice, comprehensively beaten by 5 goals and by 15 goals. And for them to travel to the other side of the city to Sandringham and beat the Saints and overrun the Saints too. They kicked, I think, 5 or 6 goals in the last quarter to come from behind and beat the Southern Saints in that game. That just really showed that, you can't take anything for granted in this competition. You look at the other ones to look at there, as you mentioned, the arrival of the two Sydney teams. The Swans played 18 AFLW listed players in their 21 against the Bulldogs 0. So there's no surprises about the result there. You expected Sydney to win. The Bulldogs are a much improved team, as the other results are showing. But at this stage, it's not something that you can read a lot into for the Bulldogs, because most of the five teams, I'm really looking forward to a couple of weeks when the undefeated Box Hill Hawks play the Sydney Swans. But at this stage, you would expect the New South Wales teams to start favourite in every game they play, simply because they're fielding so many quality players. The Giants beat Carlton by 8 points. Carlton actually had a crack at it by fielding their AFLW list. They had 11 AFLW players into the Giants 12, and that's why it ended up being such a close game.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy to see, and like, but the thing though is that at least with Sydney, I remember watching that game again. Swans, Donnie here. I know people, but I remember tuning into that game and going, seeing Mon Hamm, seeing Cynthia Hamilton, seeing so many of the, as you said, 18 of their 21 were AFLWs,
Yeah,
and it was
he did
like,
it.
it didn't shock me a little bit, which shocked me. The result didn't shock me. It more shocked me that I'm surprised Sydney didn't find a way to get a few more, maybe Sydney comp girls, to at least join the VFLW side, just to kind of let the some of the elite talented women maybe some time off. But again, you never know. Again, Coach Gowans, you don't know what he'll
Yeah.
do. But again, impressive,
I think
impressive win there. So.
in a 10-week AFLW season, these girls just want to play more footy. It's as simple as that. Like, before the AFLW came around, they were playing in the VFLW or the VWFL, that sort of thing, and they were playing 18 games a year plus finals. Now they're only playing 10 plus finals. So it's a long, long time between August, the start of the season, the end of the season in November, and the start of the season in August for them not to be playing any level of footy at all. So it's no surprise that these players just want to play footy. And I can see this being a precursor to the Swans and the Giants coming into the competition fully next year. And then they will play probably under the same format that the other VFLW slash AFLW clubs play, where you'll see like Box Hill have done. They've used 17 AFLW players throughout their first four games, but up to I think 10 or 11 was the most in any one game. They're sort of rotating them through, and they'll probably play their five or six games each out of the 14. So when they're only playing five games, as the Swans and the Giants are, then these AFLW players are going to play most of them.
No, makes sense. Completely makes sense on that one. So we'll jump to it to round four, the last round that has gone through so far. We start off with a cracking game between the Doggies and the Bombers. It's a 2-point win by the Doggies, 28-26. The Hawks beat the Seagulls 31-21, a 10-point win for the Hawks. The Collingwood Magpies get a win over their rivals, Carlton, by 17, 29-12. Casey with another strong performance, playing Burrow and beating Port Melbourne 52-29. GWS beating the Southern Saints 64-2. Darebin coming super close, but just falling short to Geelong 33-26. And the Swans with an absolute smackdown at Henson Park with an 89-point win, 114 to 25. Some cracking games in this round, a couple of absolute thrillers in this. Hard not to go by this Doggies 2-point win at Witten Oval.
Oh, stunning performance by the Bulldogs. This is the one that really announced them to us that they're back. They made a grand final in 2019. They've had a real battle since then. They didn't win a game in 2022. They won three last year, improved. They've now got two wins and two losses in the first two games, 2-1 if you take out the game against Sydney, which obviously goes into the ladder and percentage purposes and all that sort of thing. But all 10 of the AFLW aligned clubs will play one game against either the Swans or the Giants, in which they will start underdogs. So you can take that one with a grain of salt. For them to come back the following week after being beaten like that, they take the experience on board of the level that the AFLW players from the Swans produced against them. We had Laura Gardner, the club best and fairest winner, had 47 disposals. Mon Ham, as you mentioned, had 20 touches and kicked five goals against them. What you'll see is that the VFLW players that are playing against these AFLW players, they now know if we want to play AFLW football, this is the level. This is where we've got to get to. And they learn from that and they come out the next week and play and put in such a wonderful performance to knock off a powerful club in Essendon.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and it's great to see, and it's fantastic again for the competition. Again, it's I agree with you. It's a potential motivator. So I absolutely love it. So
yeah.
That is it for the VFLW. Four rounds down. We'll jump back over to the men's side, where we will have three rounds to cover. We did have one round off due to the state representative game along with gather round last week. So three rounds to cover here. Let's jump right through it. Unfortunately, round one does not give us too many cracking games. Unfortunately, there's a most of them are quite lopsided. We do have one under three goals, so we'll discuss that one. So we'll start off. Collingwood knock off Sandringham by 28, 83-55. The Seagulls knock off the Dolphins in a waterlogged game. Just kidding. 80-59, a 21-point win for the Gulls there. Richmond beat the Gold Coast Suns 76-53, a 23-point win. The Southport Sharks start off the season with a win over the Borough 97-51. The Lions beat Essendon by 37, 99-62. Werribee start strong again this year with a 53-point win over the Cats 103-50. North Melbourne continue the pain for the Northern Bull Ants with an 81-42 win, a 39-point win there. The Swans start strong with a 41-point win, 82-41. The Bulldogs, in an absolute cracking goal fest, beat the Giants 98-81, a 17-point win for the Doggies there. And Box Hill start off strong with a win over the KC Demons by 41-87-46. If I'm honest here, Brendan, I mean, really the closest game is almost three goals, and that's Footscray knocking off GWS 98-81.
Yeah, there were some really good games, though, despite the score lines being a little bit higher than you'd think. The Giants actually led that game by three goals in the third quarter, and the Bulldogs managed to run over top of them in the last quarter, which was a terrific performance by Footscray, and it showed the level that they're at. Rory Lobb kicking four goals. They had the AFL stars who really stood up there. As I mentioned, Rory Lobb with four goals. Riley Garcia had 41 disposals and kicked a couple. Jack McRae, who I don't think anyone except for the Bulldogs themselves know why Jack McRae wasn't in the AFL team, but he had 47 disposals and 26 clearances or something crazy like that. In the game, and he's been back in the AFL since. So that was a strong performance. The Giants, as I said, were 23 points up late in the third quarter before being run down in that game by the Bulldogs. I saw three of these games. I called three of these games in round one. The Friday night game between Williamstown and Frankston, that was an absolute cracker. It ended up being 21 points, but Williamstown went in clear favourites, expecting to win very comfortably. And I think it was the 26-minute mark of the last quarter, they only led by nine. And it was anybody's game. Frankston just needed a little bit of luck, and they might have got over the line. But the luck went the other way. There was a freak goal from the boundary line, a clearance like a centering kick, soccer style, from the boundary line that was side-footed in right on the line to seal to get some leeway, and then they kicked another one late. So Williamstown's 21-point win probably flattered them a little bit. I saw Werribee against Geelong. That was about four goals the difference at three-quarter time. Werribee kicked seven in the last quarter and blew it away to win by that 53-point margin. I saw the Box Hill game against the KC Demons. The Demons are extremely disappointing that day. There's no other way to put it. They at home, like I had Box Hill finishing a lot higher than Casey on the ladder, but I expected a much stronger performance from the Demons that day, and they were quite disappointing, as good as Box Hill was in that one. We also saw the Gold Coast Suns, who lost two games last year. They dropped one by 1 point, one by 2 points. They've lost at home by 23 points to Richmond. That was a real turn up, and showed that maybe they don't quite have the depth. We know they don't have the depth outside their AFL team, outside their AFL list. They've got a longer AFL list, and they top it up with academy kids. Mm-hmm. So when the AFL guys aren't there, like they were all last year, they can be very vulnerable, and that's what we saw there. And when they are available, we saw what we'll talk about when we get to round three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just shows you that their depth was one of the reasons why they were so strong last year. So we'll have to see. Well, jumped around two.
No interest.
And the crazy part about it is, from last week with all of those games that, I mean, over three goals, this week had several absolute belters. As we start off, I mean, let's start off the round with an absolutely insane one in a goal fest, as the Lions just edge out the Pies by two at Brighton Homes Arena, 105-103. North knock off the Blues by 16, 90-74. Williamstown edge over the Lions by 6, 83-77. Frankston knock off Port Melbourne 96-71, a 25-point win for the Dolphins. Box Hill with another strong performance, a 34-point win over the Cats 111-77. Werribee go up to Southport and knock off the Sharks in a thriller by 3, 62-59. The Doggies smash the Doggies with a 14-point win over the Demons, 99-85. The Tigers at home knock off the Swans, 84-72, a 12-point win there. And Sandringham ends the round with an impressive win over the Bombers by 38, 115-77. I mean, a couple of goal games and some games decided by less than a goal. An incredible round too. I mean, which would you rather prefer? Do we want to talk of Brisbane Collingwood, which is an absolute cracker, or this absolutely magnificent one up in Southport with a 3-point win by the Tigers?
So much we could talk about. So many storylines out of this one. The Lions had that Collingwood game under complete control for basically the entire game, and early in the last quarter, they actually led by 32 points, and it looked like being just one-way traffic at home, and they were going to cruise. But then Collingwood came to life, and an untried AFL wing half forward by the name of Joe Richards, he decided to have a breakout game at VFL level. And this is a guy who never showed any interest in coming down to play AFL or anything. He was a 22-year-old school teacher in 2022 up in Wangaratta. As a kid, kicked 11 goals on debut in country footy in the Ovens and Murray League, but never wanted to go down. Collingwood finally talked him into going down there. He had a brilliant year in the Ovens and Murray League. They picked him up. He had a hamstring injury that cost him a little bit of footy last year and stopped him from getting a senior game. But in this game, he kicked 4 goals in the last 20 minutes to give himself 6 for the game, and went within a whisker of picking up an unlikely win for the Magpies. So certainly they might have found another one, Collingwood, and yeah, certainly a player to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. I did the Coburg Williamstown game on Good Friday. Again, as I said, with Williamstown and Frankston, one that you expected Williamstown to win easily. Coburg sitting on, I think, going into this game, they were sitting on a 22-match losing streak. And they were plucky. They stuck with Williamstown for most of the day, but they were 20 points down at the 20-minute mark or 23-minute mark of the last quarter. And then they went bang, and they actually leveled the scores with about 35 seconds to go, and it looked like they were going to at least pinch a draw. A scrambling kick out of the middle, a ball up, a scrambling kick out of the ball out of that ball up, and remember Gary Rowan's mark against Essendon a few years ago? Identical.
Oh,
Jack
man.
Toner for Williamstown playing in front, took the mark at the top of the goal square. Siren sounded as he was going in to take his kick, and Williamstown got away with a 6-point victory in an absolute classic game of footy. Break Coburg hearts. You feel so sorry for them, but if they keep playing like that, then the drought won't last too much longer. Great win for Frankston over Port Melbourne. Box Hill was actually, I think, 25 points down on Geelong midway through the third quarter, and then kicked, I think it was 10 or 11 goals to 1 after that. They kicked 6 goals in the last 15 minutes to turn that into a one-sided game. And, yeah, so they were the main ones, and a very courageous victory by Richmond over Sydney just as the injuries started to bite them there as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, I love seeing those games. It's absolutely heartbreaking for Coburg, because there's part of you, like, you want them to get that win to end the streak and everything like that, but Sometimes you gotta, sometimes as a Williamstown team, sometimes you gotta win ugly. It's an ugly win. It's one of those that there's probably more learnings out of that than they probably would like for a win, but it's one of those, it makes for some fantastic footy again. Like I said, my heart breaks for Coburg. I hope that they end the streak very, very soon. We'll jump to it. The round just passed by. We're like less than 24 hours after all of these games are over. So we're just still fresh in our minds. We're starting off as the Footscray Bulldogs knock off Essendon 114-80, a 34-point win there. The Giants with a 46-point win over the Zebras, 125-79. Seagulls back up that closer performance with an impressive 46-point win over the South Park Sharks, 112-66. Werribee capitalizing on a Richmond team that's still fighting injuries galore and unfortunately gained another one in this particular game with a 21-point win, 73-52. Casey knock off Port Melbourne by 15, 90-75. Gold Coast Suns get their win, kind of backing up a little bit with a 43-point win, 88-45. The Roos and the Lions play to a 1-point game as the Roos edge out the Lions at Arden Street. And then in a hold my beer moment, Collingwood and Carlton go, we can do the same thing as the Pies knock off the Blues by 1, 83-82. Kind of an anticlimactic ending to the round as Geelong smashed the Preston, smashed Northern Bull Ants by 53, 89, 36. I mean, hold my beer moments, 2 1-point games back to back. How good is this?
Oh, sensational stuff. And I didn't see either of them because I was actually commentating the Northern Bull Ants Geelong game, which was on at exactly the same time. And that was a much better game than the we'll get to the 1-pointers, but the Bull Ants and Geelong was a much better game than that score indicates. The Cats, I think, won each of the first three quarters by a goal, 2 goals, something like that. They were 4 goals up, I think it was, at three quarter time, and then ran away in the last quarter. The Ants failed to score in the final quarter. Geelong added 3 goals, 6 to put them away in the end. But there was some amazing football played in this game. Check out the VFL page. I've actually shared one on my page on X that I was lucky enough to call a mark taken by James Willis in this game. And yeah, let's just say he was that high, he was able to give a high five and have a beer with God before he took the mark and came down. Am I allowed to say that?
You're
Too
gonna
bad
offend
I just
me.
did. Yeah, so it was a stunning mark, and it followed up with some amazing football as well. Look for a highlight of Patrick Fairley kicking an amazing goal out of the pack for Northern Bull Ants earlier on in that game as well. So some terrific footy played there. The 2 1-point games we can look at there. Brisbane Lions will be wondering what happened. They'll be wondering what happened there. They had, I think, 50 or 60 more disposals. They had 30 odd more marks. They had 30 odd more inside 50s. And the score, you said 76 to 75. Break it down. 12 goals for 76 North Melbourne. Brisbane Lions 9-21-75. So 30 scores to 16 in favour of the Lions, and they found a way to lose that game. They actually hit the lead with about a minute and a half to go, a snap from Brandon Ryan, but North was able to go forward, and Sam Lowson, who kicked 4 straight, there's the difference in the game right there, calmly kicked the set shot to steal it back for the Roos. The Carlton Collingwood game, see, I was following the scores in this one, seesawing all day. Carlton up by a couple of goals, Collingwood up by a couple of goals. It just kept swinging around. Collingwood looked like they were home. They were 11 points up, I think, about the 22-minute mark of the last quarter. Carlton goes bang, bang, hits the lead by a point, and Collingwood managed to kick 2 behinds themselves to turn that 1-point deficit into a 1-point win in an absolute cracking game of football. We'll quickly touch on a couple of the others. The Gold Coast Suns, as I said, they were able to pick a much stronger team in this game. And Box Hill went up to Queensland undefeated on top of the ladder with a percentage of about 170. And they kicked their first goal of the game. The Hawks kicked their first goal of the game at, I can tell you exactly when they did. They kicked their first goal of the game at the 9 minute mark of the third quarter, by which time the Suns were in front by 57 points. So it ended up being a 43 point margin. The Hawks fought the game out well, but that was an ominous display from the Suns that shows that when they do have their best team on the park, they're going to take a lot of beating. The other game I got to commentate was the Port Melbourne Casey game. Port Melbourne led that one all the way. It was close all the way, but Port Melbourne was a couple of goals in front all day, looked like they were going to get the job done. But Casey was just a little bit too composed, a little bit too professional. They kicked 6 goals to 1 in the last quarter and turned a 14-point deficit into a 15-point win, and yeah, got themselves their first victory of the year and left Port Melbourne at 0-3.
Absolutely insane. Like I'm looking at the score line, and I was like sitting here going, it's like he's right. Like 9-10 mark, the 9-10 mark of the third quarter. That's insane to hold a team with no goals, 3 points altogether in the first half by the Hawks in that game. So,
Yeah,
wow, oh
and that's
wow.
not a struggling team. That's not a struggling team they did that to. That was the team that was on top of the ladder.
And I'm actually seeing that I'm seeing this James Willis mark. You are not kidding. I mean, he's gonna need an ox. He's gonna need, as you kind of stated in your tweet, he's gonna need an oxygen mask. That's how high he got up there. I mean, anything up any higher should need a movie and a stewardess. Wow,
Yeah,
that
definitely.
is
At E Rhodes
absolutely
VFL,
insane.
go and have a look at that, and yeah, give us a follow and have a look at that at B Rhodes VFL, and yeah, anyone across America, you'll be wondering the athleticism and how someone can actually jump that high.
That is absolutely insane. I will definitely retweet that out. I will definitely retweet that out for sure. So that'll do it. That is all three rounds of the men's that have played so far. So we've done it. We've covered 4 rounds in the women's, 3 rounds in the men's, so many games of footy. That's fantastic. We've got some burning questions. We'll try to go through this quickly because I know it is getting late for you over there in Melbourne. So let's jump to the women's part. After 4 rounds of footy, Box Hill, as we kind of said, starting very strong, the only undefeated team still left in the competition so far. I mean, with Port Melbourne nipping at their heels, only one game back with one loss. Right now, so far, are these your top two sides right now, or is it still a little early to say, considering we do have Sydney and GWS kind of throwing a little bit of a spanner in the works?
I think it's definitely too early to say, mainly because the Hawks have been playing that AFLW strength. And highly likely, and this is the way they do operate and have operated in the past, it's almost certain that these players will not be there come the end of the season, come the finals. So you'll see that while they're playing, they're going to win a lot of games of football and they're going to win them well. And they were fiercely challenged by Williamstown. I commentated that game on the weekend, and they were pushed all the way with 8 AFLW players. So as that number drops, they're going to potentially be opened up to being caught there. They actually went, would you believe, 237 minutes without conceding a goal. From the 15-minute mark of the second quarter in round 1 to the 12-minute mark of the second quarter in round 4, they didn't concede a single goal. So they're powerful, but their powerful players are mostly not going to be around when the whips are cracking. So that's why Port Melbourne for me is clearly the most impressive team at the moment. North Melbourne, a shock loss to the Casey Demons. They're sitting fifth at the moment. That ladder that you're looking at doesn't show the Swans and the Giants, who are sitting third and fourth, but obviously won't be making the finals, because even if they do go 5-0, that won't be enough wins to qualify. So North Melbourne, definitely. Western Bulldogs are I want to I'm liking what I'm seeing, but I want to see it for a bit longer. The team that's sitting down there in 10th spot on the ladder, or 8th on the ladder that you're looking at, Williamstown, one win, 2 losses and a draw. The 2 losses have been to Box Hill and Port Melbourne, who were the 2 undefeated teams heading into round 4. And the draw was to Essendon, who made the preliminary final last year. So, and they had a massive win over Darabin, which sees their percentage as the third highest in the league, even though they're that far down the ladder. So they're certainly the standouts for me. I think Port Melbourne, North Melbourne, and potentially Williamstown. That's not saying Box Hill can't do it without their AFLW players, but I want to see how they go without their AFLW players.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ladder right now. I mean, this is how ridiculous their percentage is. 720 right now. They've scored 288 points. They've only given up 40, and they've played. So they're giving up an average of 10 points a game. I mean, that's very impressive. As you said, it's a little
21
skewed.
Of those points was this weekend.
Exactly. It's a little bit skewed. I mean, I'm looking at the ladder. The ladder that I have currently has Sydney and GWS in it. Sydney right now is third. And they have a percentage of 421.3. They've scored 198 points and only given up 47. Again, they've only played two games. But, I mean, I agree with you. The ladder is a little bit skewed because you're going to have, like I said, GWS and Sydney are going to be in the ladder, but they really aren't going to be contending for finals unless we have utter chaos, which would be interesting.
Yeah,
I
they're
highly
probably going
doubt.
To finish around about 9th or 10th,
Yep.
I would say, with five, even if they get their 5 wins.
Even if they go 5-0, I think they'll just fall short. But I mean, it's been impressive. So, and we'll kind of piggyback on that. Is, as we said last week, we saw the introduction of the New South Wales teams. And again, just being honest, as somebody that keeps track of this competition, as you kind of caveated, all of the non-affiliated sides do not play Sydney and GWS. So the 10 games altogether that GWS and Sydney will play will basically be one game apiece for all of the attached sides in the VFLW.
Yeah, so it's Williamstown and Darabin are the two that missed, that don't have to play GWS or Sydney. So that's a bonus for Williamstown, who I think are a contender.
Yep. So I look at it and I ask this, is this good for the competition to see the New South Wales teams, to be able to kind of see how it goes, to potentially, as you said, maybe eventually next year, have these two teams become full members of the VFL? Are you kind of indifferent because the five games is just, it's a little teaser test, and it may skew the results for the next 5 weeks while they are playing in the competition?
That's the thing. Yes, it does skew the results, and it's going to affect the percentages clearly. As I said, if you look at that ladder, North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs are the next two teams on the ladder. They're the ones that have lost to Sydney convincingly. They're 2-1 outside the Swans games, and they've got percentages in the 70s. So that's certainly going to affect them. It'll be interesting to see. Port Melbourne is loosely aligned to Richmond, which is why. So in the women's, they're aligned to Richmond, which is why they, I believe, have a game, I think, against the Giants. They're not a standalone club in women's footy that they are in men. So yeah, it is quite skew. If it's going to be very hard to get a read on the competition and who the real contenders are until after those teams are gone, and really right down to the end, right down to round 12, 13, 14. You're not going to really know how it's going to unfold and how these games are going to affect the final ladder. You can look at it Box Hill the same way. They've played 10, 11, 12 AFLW players in their early games, and they've blown teams away.
Mm-hmm.
So every club has the ability to do that. The clubs that are playing against the Swans and the Giants, they have the ability to play their AFLW players. Mm-hmm. Southern Saints chose not to against GWS on the weekend. They rested four of their AFLW girls from that trip to Sydney, and Julie got beaten 64-2 with a much weaker team. They would have obviously gone much better if they'd taken a stronger team to Sydney, which is on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as simple as that. I would expect Box Hill will probably have a fair crack at Sydney and play a strong team that day. So that's where it's at. These teams could play their strong sides. They're opting not to, and as a result, their percentages are going to cop a hit.
Yeah, I pulled it up because I wanted to be sure. You are right. It is Port Melbourne play GWS. And what I find fascinating about it is in that same round, Sydney play Box Hill. So I think
That's two weeks away, yeah.
it will be very, very interesting. Yep. Round six, April, on that weekend, Port Melbourne host GWS at ETU Stadium in Melbourne, and Box Hill will host Sydney at FENJIU Stadium.
FenJiu Stadium.
FenJiU
It's a new
Stadium.
name,
I didn't want to
new
butcher it.
sponsor's
I
name
did
for the
not
box.
want to
Yeah.
butcher
Yeah.
it.
That's the old Box Hill City Oval. They signed a new sponsorship agreement in the week before round one for 3 years, which is fantastic for them. A good cash injection. So
Yep.
that'll certainly help them out. But those two games in 2 weeks will clearly be the biggest tests for the Swans and the Giants in their bids to be 5-0. And if Box Hill and Port Melbourne stand up to those games, well, obviously that then tells you that they're the major players for the VFLW Premiership.
It'll definitely be interesting, but in some situations you almost look at it and you go, if you almost want to have GWS instead of Sydney, because as far as Sydney has been much more lethal points wise. So it'll be fascinating to see on that one. So again, we're
Well,
still.
the Swans have played their 17 and 18. The Giants have been playing about 12
Yep. So.
AFLW listed players. So hence why their scores are a little bit lower.
So, which I mean, it'd be interesting to see how does Sydney go over the next couple of rounds? Will they stay with those super strong sides with high number or not? So we'll jump over to the men's now. So we're three rounds in. I had to adjust this a little bit because we had to change it. So we were only going to cover round two, but due to some scheduling situations, we will cover round three. And after three rounds, there are four unbeaten teams still left in the VFLW. Are there any surprises at the top of the ladder here in the VFL, or are these kind of who you expected to be at the top of the ladder?
I certainly expected these teams to be up there, definitely. I think if I remember rightly, I had all four of those teams finishing in the top six. Werribee getting that win over Southport at Southport was a big result. That's really set them up to really build into this season as they try to go one better from last year. Williamstown, I expected them to be 3-0. They've beaten Southport easily, but that was down here in Melbourne. So I had them as favourites, not as easily as that, but Southport did have a lot of injuries last year, and they've got quite a few again right now. So they lost four or five players from the team before the bye that came down here. That's not taking anything away from Williamstown, who were magnificent in an 8-goal win against a team that I feel will be right at the pointy end. North Melbourne, I considered them to be, actually, I might not have had them in the top six, but I considered them to be actually a chance, and it doesn't surprise me to see them where they are. And Footscray, I certainly did have in the I think our last podcast, I had them in the grand final, which I changed before the season started. I still had them in the top four. So Brisbane Lions and Box Hill, the next two teams have had the one loss each. The Lions, I've got as my premiership favourite. I didn't pick them to win it, but I picked them to win the minor premiership. So there's no surprise to see those teams up near the top at all. If you look down towards the bottom of the ladder, I thought Port Melbourne would have at least a win on the board by now, sitting in 19th spot. Casey got that first win on the weekend, which sort of gets them going. I expect them to finish higher than they are, and I expect Southport to finish higher than they are. Having lost that home game again, that really hurts them. But that'll take shape over the next couple of weeks. But certainly the teams at the top of the ladder have every right to be there, and they're going to take a fair bit of dislodging.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. And then unfortunately, we'll go from the good part of the ladder to the bad part of the ladder as we see five teams with no wins. Now, again, caveat a little bit. Not everybody's played the same amount. Three of those bottom five teams have only played two games compared to two of them playing three. Are there any surprises at the bottom of the ladder? Are there any teams with no wins in the win column that are kind of surprising to you?
Well, probably only Port Melbourne that I just touched on there. They lost a home game on Good Friday against Frankston that they would have started strong favourites in. The coaching staff wielded the axe after that one. They made seven changes before the game against Casey, and they got the response that they wanted. They just didn't quite have the experience or the poise to get them or the fitness to get themselves over the line in the long run. So I thought they might have had a win by now. Coburg was so close, as we mentioned earlier. Carlton's lost their two games, but they lost by 16 points and by 1 point, so they're not far off the mark. Essendon have struggled, but I had them down near the bottom of the ladder. And the Bull Ants, in their two games, they've been competitive for long stretches, but with a completely new look team, it's going to take time for them to gel together. They had 15 players in the team against Geelong on Sunday that weren't at the club last year. So it's going to take time. At the moment, they don't quite have the experience or the training to be able to play it for four full quarters, and that's why they're falling away and being beaten. But I reckon they're on the right track, and they could pinch a win or two later on in the year.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting, and then we'll kind of go to this. I'm not sure how much you want to talk about it, unfortunately. And we did have a state representative game for the first time in a long time with the big V coming out as Victoria played South Australia. Unfortunately, the big V fell a little bit short to the South Australians, and as we were discussing off mic, there is a little bit of a caveat to that game, but. Your thoughts on this? Is this something that you would like to see continued on? Because it's great to see the big V come out and to see that rivalry between South Australia and Victoria reignited after so many years kind of dormant.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, and I am a proud and passionate New South Welshman. So I'm not someone that grew up, I suppose, bleeding for the big V. But here we are now, and it's such an iconic jumper. That one, the South Australian Crow Eaters Guernsey, the Black Swans of WA, the Apple Isle of Tasmania, the I love representative football at any level. Always have, always will. And it's been a massive chasm that it's not there. That, I'd love to see State of Origin come back at AFL level. I don't think it's going to happen because the fixture is that condensed, that jammed in now that they just can't do it, and the clubs don't want to release their players to play in it. So this is probably the best level we can get at. And Victoria named a very, very strong team. Probably not quite as strong as they could have. There was, oh, maybe I think they lost about half a dozen players to injury the week before, which was a real pain. But there's no excuses there, because I think there was maybe 15 players who had previously been on an AFL list. In that team that went over to Adelaide during Gather Round to take on South Australia, and they had their chances. They definitely had their chances. They led early. I think they were still a point up at half time. They fell 17 points down at three quarter time. They had two or three shots early in the last quarter that would have got them right back into the game, but they missed those, and South Australia held on. And good on them. They haven't lost to Victoria now since 2002. There's been no game, of course, for five or six of those years, but it's, I think, now seven wins out of the last eight games for South Australia. So they quite rightly can lay claim to be the strongest state league in the country. Obviously, there's a lot more AFL listed players in the VFL because there's a lot more AFL teams aligned to it. But at the standalone level, at the non-listed player level, the South Australia, they
Oh, and I think we
can train
just.
together more in the same state. They can play, as no doubt the VFL do too. But yeah, the South Australia thoroughly deserved that win. I'm not taking anything away from them at all. And yeah, we look forward to hopefully having another crack at it next year.
Yeah, and I'm one of those. I agree with what so many people have said, that I think that this has to continue. I think it's fantastic for footy. It's a great way to potentially even see those up and coming players that potentially could see their AFL or see AFL time in the future. Definitely cannot wait for that. Let's get to it. We'll
And
get to
get the
the.
waffle involved as well. Get the
I
waffle
agree.
back. Get Victoria playing the waffle again as well at some stage for sure.
I would even love, I know it would kind of throw off the VFL Sandful waffle, but I mean, if you could even find a way to let the Queensland and the New South Wales teams play as allies, and maybe even when you get the Tasmanian teams, potentially that way you have a four teams, you could play a rotating schedule. Waffle play Victoria, Sandful play the allies, and then the next year it's allies play Waffle, and then Victoria plays. So then it's always rotating, you get a couple of games. I think it would be fantastic
Yeah,
for
well,
the comp, but we'll have to see.
the last 3 or 4 years of proper AFL state of origin in the early 90s before it fell away, that's exactly what they did. The two winners played off the following year, the two losers played off the following year, and then it rotated around. So if Victoria, say, beat South Australia and West Australia beat the Allies, then Vic would play WA, SA would play the Allies, and then And that's how they worked it out. Again, as a New South Welshman, I'm not a I'd rather see the sky blue of New South Wales playing. I know it's not quite as strong, but at the under-18 championships level, they actually play rep games beforehand. So New South Wales, Queensland, Tasmania, Northern Territory, they all play games against each other in Division 2 of the championships, and then they come together. They pick an Allies squad out of that then comes together and plays in Division 1. And it was the Allies who won the tournament in 2023 for the first time ever. So we've already seen some absolute stars emerge from that team. The Tasmanian boys, Colby McKercher, Riley Sanders. The four boys that were picked up by Gold Coast, Jed Walter, Ethan Reed, these guys all playing AFL football already. They were all in that Allies team. So it was just a golden year for those other states, and they beat everybody. But yeah, so that's what I would like to see. If you're going to have an Allies team involved, I still want to see those other four states plus. In Northern Territory being a territory, but I'll call it states for this discussion. I want to see them playing their rep footy as well. And Northern Territory played against the Essendon VFL team in January and beat them soundly. So there's plenty of talent up there as well.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Let's get to it. We always end the episode with some tipping. I will hop on just for fun here on this. So we'll start off. We are gentlemen. We will begin with the ladies going into round five. Some interesting matchups here. I'm interested to see how it goes. We'll start off at DSV Stadium in Victoria as the Seagulls of Williamstown host the Western Bulldogs. Who do you like in this one?
What a cracker. What a cracker. That's a genuine flip of the coin game. And there's a couple of flip of the coin games here. I'm going to take Williamstown at home. I thought they were very, very impressive in that game against Box Hill that I saw on the weekend. The Bulldogs are obviously playing really good footy at the moment, but I think at home Williamstown might just be able to get over the line, but there'll be nothing in it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I think the hometown of the Williamstown, but I think this should be an absolute cracker. Cannot wait for it. We jump over to Gina Steele Oval in Preston as Darabin hosts Collingwood. Can the Falcons end the losing streak? Unfortunately, I think the Pies win this one, but I think the Falcons give this one a mighty crack. This is gonna be a fantastic game. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, well, you cannot really, as much as you'd like to, you can't really pick a team that's lost 25 games in a row, can you? You would love to, and I think they are a live chance in this one. Collingwood obviously played an amazing game against Carlton on Saturday to get their first win of the season, which shows that they're starting to come together, the new squad, and develop well. Darabin very good against Geelong on a long drive down to Colac, which is about 2 hours from Melbourne. So they've done very well. and I'll get a lot of confidence out of that. So we'll see how it goes. You've got to pick Collingwood, but yeah, I'm sure that the Falcons will be eyeing that one as an opportunity.
An absolute cracker at Finji Stadium in Box Hill as the Hawks, top of the table, host North Melbourne, as you kind of said, probably the de facto third place team in the ladder right now if you take Sydney and GWS out of there. Cracking one. Box Hill, North Melbourne, who do you like in this one?
Selection plays a big role, doesn't it? If Box Hill brings all their AFLW players and North Melbourne doesn't, then obviously Box Hill win the game. And that puts a lot of pressure on North Melbourne then as they fall to 2 and 3 to try and stay in touch. But maybe North Melbourne might say, hey, this is the game where we roll out some of our stars and have a full crack at it. So well, I'm actually lucky enough to be calling this one on Saturday, so I can't wait for that. And the Box Hill favourites because of the way they've selected their teams so far, but North Melbourne certainly looming large.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you on this one too. I think Box Hill, but I think North. Do they get the temptation to try to chuck a few of their AFLW players in there just to see how it goes? Be interesting. All right, we get to it. The two New
They do.
South
I hope
Wales
they do.
teams play back to back. As first we see a Tom's Willis Oval Stadium in Sydney as GWS host the Cats. I'm going to tip the Giants in this one. I just think there's going to be a little too much AFLW talent. The Cats will give them a run, but I think the Giants just a little bit too good.
Yeah. No, I think the Giants win that one pretty comfortably. The Cats will push hard, but they won't have the class to go with GWS if they select the team that they've selected the first 2 weeks.
Yep, and then kind of the same thing with the Sydney Swans and Blacktown up in Sydney as the Swans host the KC Demons. Like I said, if selection stays about the way it is, I think the Swans just too good for the Demons in this one.
Yeah, no question. Well, you look at the last 2 weeks there. The Swans beat North Melbourne by 89 points. Casey beat North Melbourne by 3. With very that and that's the difference in the quality that the Swans will be able to put out compared to Casey. I think it'll be closer than that because Casey did put out 4 extra AFLW players in that game against Port Melbourne on the weekend, so they might be planning to have a full crack at this one, which will help them go better. But Swans should win.
All right, we jump to back down to Icon Park down in Melbourne as Carlton host Port Melbourne. Who do you like in this one?
Port Melbourne on the rebound. Carlton is better than a 1-3 team. That loss to Collingwood is extremely disappointing, and they'll be wanting to hit back hard. But I think Port Melbourne will be well and truly chastened by that performance against the KC Demons, and they'll get the job done.
Alrighty, I'm with you on that one. I think Port Melbourne win this one, even on the road. And last but not least, at the Hanger for the Southerns, as the Southerns, which is interesting, at the Hanger as Essendon hosts the Southern Saints. And this one, I'm gonna tip the Saints on this one, but this is one of those. I think this is a coin flip game again too. I think it really all depends on how the game kind of goes. Tip the Southern Saints in this one. Their form's just been a little bit better, but again, I will not think that Essendon is not an absolute crack in this game.
Word for word what you just said. Word for word what you just said. Saints to win for me, but yeah, anybody's game. They're very, very evenly matched, these two teams, and yeah, it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see Essendon fire up, especially after losing a game that they probably wouldn't have thought they should have lost against the Dogs.
Alrighty, and that is all of the women's games. We will jump over to the men's competition with some absolute crackers here. Send if I could get my computer to work. Absolutely, there we go. Starting off, and the Friday night footy game sees Frankston at Kinetic Stadium hosting the Northern Bullants. I'll take the Dolphins in this one. I think the Bullants will make it a competitive game, but I think the Dolphins just a little bit too good.
Interesting the way the fixture's fallen on this, and the Bull Ants would probably be a little bit frustrated. Frankston's just had 2 weeks off with this state game and then the bye on the weekend. whereas the Bullants played on Sunday. So this is Frankston playing off a 21-day break, Bullants playing off five. So you would expect that the fresher legs should make a difference towards the end of the game, and Frankston should win.
Yeah, all righty. We'll move to it. Also at the hangar next up, as Essendon hosts the Southport Sharks in this one. Be interesting, the Queensland side coming down. Who do you like in this one?
You would hope the Sharks get a couple of players back from their injuries, but regardless, they should still have too much class for Essendon. Put up a good fight against Footscray, the Bombers. They led at half time, so they're not going to be a pushover if Southport can't bring their A game. But I think if Southport are going to be a fair dinkum contender this year, then they win this.
I'm with you on this one. I think the Sharks in this one, but yeah, I think it'll be a cracking game. Cannot wait for it. Jump out to Avalon Airport's Oval in Avalon as the Werribee Tigers host the GWS Giants. I got the Tigers in this one. The Tigers just too good. Okay, I just love watching this Werribee Tigers team play. So.
They're brilliant. They are absolutely outstanding. They haven't they've lost they lost I think over 500 games worth of experience from their grand final team, and they haven't missed a beat. And they'll be and as good as the Giants were in their big win over Sandringham at the weekend, Werribee should be far too good for them at Avalon Airport Oval.
Definitely, for sure. We jump up from Avalon up to Queensland, up to Ipswich and Brighton Homes Arena as the Brisbane Lions host the Geelong Cats in this one. Who do you like in this one?
Lions will bounce back. The Cats put up a they'll put up a bit of a fight as they did today, but against the quality teams, they've found themselves wanting in the fourth quarter of games. That there was a corner turn today. They had a good last quarter after being blown away by Werribee and Box Hill, but I think the Lions could do the same thing to them and win pretty comfortably.
I'm with you on this one. I like Brisbane in this one at home. A fun one at Fengie Stadium in Box Hill as the Hawks host the North Melbourne Roos. I'm gonna tip the Roos in this one. Road teams sometimes it'd be interesting. It'll be a fun one on this one. I'm gonna tip the Roos on this one. Usually I tip the home team, but we'll go with North Melbourne in this one. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm tipping the Hawks, but I'm certainly not blaming you for taking your suggest but for taking North Melbourne. I think this is quite a closely matched game, the first real test, I think, for North Melbourne. Well, that's a silly thing to say because they've just beaten the Brisbane Lions, who are the premiership favourites, but travelling away again. Against a contender who will be on the rebound after copping a flogging up in Queensland last week. The Hawks will be coming out breathing fire in this one. So if North can knock them off, that will be a real statement. I think the Hawks to win, but yeah, a nice little tester for North Melbourne.
It'll be a fun one. Another really intriguing one. I cannot wait for this one. DSV Stadium in Victoria as the Seagulls host the Footscray Bulldogs. A fascinating one on this one. Who do you like in this one?
What a ripper. What an absolute ripper of a game that is. Williamstown went into the game against Footscray on this ground last year. They are very, very hard to beat at home, Williamstown. They're one of the hardest teams to beat at home anywhere. Footscray towed them up last year on that ground. So that was a game in about round 15 or 16, just as the Bulldogs were starting their charge towards the finals. They won 12 games in a row to come from nowhere, and Williamstown were one of the victims. I just can't pick against Williamstown at Williamstown simply because of that home record. So I'm going to take them, but this should be a thriller.
I'm with you on this one. I'll take the Seagulls at home, but that'll be a cracking one. I cannot wait to check that one out. And then another good one at the SCG in Sydney as the Swans host the Suns in this one. Oh, head versus heart tip on this one. I'm gonna go with Sydney. They're coming off a bye round. I think they're getting a little bit healthier with the potential of Luke Parker potentially back for the AFL side, which then kicks another talented player down to the VFL. So I'm going to tip Sydney in this one as the curtain raiser before the AFL round.
I'm reserving judgment until I see the team selections. Because, like, if it's the Suns team that played against Richmond in round one, you would think Sydney would win. If it's the Suns team that played against Box Hill Hawks last week in round three, then they are going to take a power of beating. And the Suns actually have a crazy good record at VFL level against the Swans, even when they're down near the bottom. And looking back to the NEAFL, the Suns seem to win games against the Swans when they've got no right to. And they're usually close. There's usually only a couple points in it, but the Suns, I've sat there and watched the Suns come from 7 and 8 goals down in the third quarter to beat the Swans. So, yeah, we'll see how the selections come out. But if you base it solely on last week's games, which the Swans didn't play, then you've got to tip Gold Coast at the moment.
Completely understand it. I a little bit of a homer tip there. I'm hoping. So, all right, Piranha
Should
Park
be
in
too. I'm allowed
Coburg
to.
as the Lions host the Collingwood Magpies. Can they end the streak? Can they end the losing streak, or do the Pies continue the pain?
If they play the way they did against Williamstown and the way they did in the preseason, Coburg won 3 of their 4 games in the preseason as well. They beat Carlton twice and they beat Casey. So if they bring that form, then yes, they can definitely beat Collingwood. The Magpies, a fantastic victory over Carlton on Sunday. So they will clearly start favourite. There's no question about that. But yeah, 24 losses in a row. Yeah, it's coming. They are getting closer, and they will turn someone over that no one expects them to turn someone over this year. And yes, it could be Collingwood. I'll be tipping the Magpies at this stage for the same reason that I was tipping the Magpies against Darebin in the women's comp. But yeah, Coburg with a big chance.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to tip the pies, but I'll be up here. I'll be up here barracking for Coburg. I want to see that streak end. Same thing with you hate seeing teams have this long between drinks and the song. So, and last but not least, ending the round at Icon Park as the Carlton Blues host the Port Melbourne Burrows. A fascinating one between these two sides here. Who do you like in this one?
The aspiration stakes, isn't it, for both of them? Carlton 0-2, Port Melbourne 0-3. You can potentially recover from 0-3 if Carlton do lose and drop to 0-3, you can potentially recover. But for Port Melbourne, I think even with the friendly draw, and I tipped them to make the finals with a friendly fixture, one of those friendly games they've already lost. And that's a loose friendly is a loose term because obviously Frankston played wonderful football that day. I think if Port can produce the footy that they did for 3 quarters against Casey, then yeah, they could very well win, and they probably would win, but I'm not sure that they can put the 4 quarters together. So I'll be tipping Carlton at home at this stage.
I'm gonna go with you on that one. I think Carlton on that one. But I'm hoping Port giving a mighty crack. It'll be fun. So, oh, Brendan, that is it. We finally, it seems like forever sometimes because of so many teams in the competition. We've got through the tipping. That is everything in the podcast. Again, sensational work by you. I know this isn't easy to do multiple rounds with sometimes up to 10 to 12 games per round. Holy shnikey, sometimes it blows my mind. So again, thank you as always for hopping on the podcast. It is always great being able to sit here and chat footy with you.
And it's always a pleasure to talk to you too, Donnie. As I always say, taking this great game to the world. We are so grateful for everything that you guys do. And yeah, look forward to speaking again in the next couple of weeks.
It'll be fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for another episode of Donnie's Disposal. Again, keep an eye out. More footy coverage still to come. Working on a few things as well for the podcast. So keep an eye on it. And that'll do it for another episode of Donnie's Disposal. Be back with more footy coverage very, very soon.